Well, it's vision night. If you would, in your Bibles tonight, turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. We enjoyed our theme on Love Serves, and each year we kind of rotate the various themes as to line up with the purposes of the church, which are found here on the walls in the auditorium, loving God and growing together and serving others. So last year, of course, our theme was more service-oriented as to the actions we do, the application of our faith. And then this year, our emphasis is going to be more towards the loving God and growing together as we look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, and let's look at verse 6, and the actual verse is verse 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, bless us tonight. We pray that the Word of God would be plain, simple, Lord, and we would again see the application tonight. We do pray that you'd bless us throughout this upcoming year. We see souls saved and lives touched and changed. And through the emphasis upon this theme, that we would just continue to grow in you as never before. That we would continue to in our walk with you as never before. And we'll thank you again. In Jesus' name, amen. So the theme this year is rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. They're found in verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him. In the church of Colossae, the church here that Paul is writing to, there was Gnostics in that church, there were cultists in that church, and the deity and the humanity of Christ was under attack. And so Paul is addressing these things. He's addressing these attacks, especially again on the deity and the humanity of Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. God in the flesh. He was just as much God as though he'd never been man, and just as much man as though he'd never been God. He was the God-man. And so the emphasis here in Colossians is upon that deity, upon the deity of Christ. In verse 6, we understand, we see that it says, as you therefore have received Christ. So he is speaking to those who have received Christ, those who have been saved. He's speaking to Christians who have received Jesus Christ. Notice again the names of the Lord. It says, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. The name Christ is Messiah. That means Messiah. That's the one that was promised to come. The one that was promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and on throughout the Old Testament. Jesus, of course, means Savior. So not only is He the Messiah, not only is He the promised one who was to come and the promise to Abraham and all these, but He was the Savior. He came and He died for us and rose again the third day. He shed His blood for us. The Lord, the Christ Jesus, the Lord. The word Lord means boss. The word Lord, that name, Lord, means boss. In other words, as we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to also remember that not only are we saved, not only is He the Messiah, but we are under His authority. He is the boss. Why do we have atheists today? They don't want to make Christ boss. Why do we have evolutionists today? They don't want to make Christ boss. They don't want to be under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, there are many Christians who don't want to be under God's authority and have nothing to do with it. And listen, He is the general. He's the one in charge. He's the one, as I said this morning, let us. We are to follow His commands because He is the boss. And we are to under His authority. As we look here, it says, verse 6, that the Lord Jesus, so walk ye in Him. This word, walk in Him, means manner of life. It's speaking of our life, the life that we live, that we ought to walk in Him. I want to remind you tonight that Christianity is Christ. It's not about Christ, it is Christ. Christ is the central theme of the Bible. The Bible is Christocentric. You cut you tear any page of the Bible, it bleeds the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the central theme of the Bible. I'm going to say it again. Christianity is Christ. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And we ought to walk in Him. Walk in Him. We see over in Ephesians where it says to walk in love and walk worthy of the vocation where we've been called and so forth. And walk as children of the light. We are to primarily walk in Him. Walk in Him. Now we see in verse 7 the theme. We see the metaphor used by Paul here. It says there, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Rooted in Him. Rooted in Him. This would be a lot to the same of what the Gospel of John, when the apostle speaks about abiding in Christ, that we ought to abide in the vine. We are the branches. We ought to abide in Him. The metaphor here is agricultural in nature. Jesus Christ is the deep soil we are to be rooted in. We think about various trees, and I've really picked on the fruitless mulberry tree from the pulpit before, but the fruitless mulberry tree is a trash tree, and they were real popular. They got real popular back in the 70s and 80s. My parents bought a brand new house in 1976 in Bowie, Texas. Bought it for $15,000, brand new brick house, three bedroom, bath and a half for $15,000. Imagine that. It's about 1,400 square feet. But the trees that were planted were fruitless mulberry trees all around the front of that thing. There was four of them. And I remember as a kid climbing in them, of course, and all those things. But I remember as a kid, it was a constant battle. My dad had to constantly battle the stinking growth on those things. And they just everywhere. And then their roots were not deep. They were just along the ground. And grass wouldn't grow. And it was just, they were just a trash tree. And they needed to be cut down and a good tree planted in their place. Some of you probably have some fruitless mulberry trees in your yard. But when we talk about being rooted, we more think about an oak tree. There's a certain tree in California called the Bristol Cone tree. And it's 4,000 years old. Can you imagine that? A tree that's 4,000, that means it was basically was planted and began to grow right after the flood. Still around. And they, of course, can measure that by the number of rings on those, the growth rings are on that tree. Can you imagine that? 4,000 years a tree has been around, planted again around the time of the flood. We think about why does a tree live so long, or how can a tree live so long? Because of their structure. My plan is tonight is not to go into detail on this. We'll do that at a later date. But because of the structure, the life of a tree is found in the roots. And it's also found, the life is found in the roots there at the very end, actually. And the life is found in the outer layer of the tree. As it goes up, as it forms one ring to another ring to another ring, the outer ring is that which is really alive, really bringing the sustenance and things to the rest of that tree. And it's the structure as it continues to grow. Of course, that trunk gets bigger and bigger and so forth. Year by year, not only is the trunk getting bigger, but the roots are getting deeper. The oak tree, the roots of the oak tree are equal to its branches. So as the branches reach higher and expand, so do the roots. So if you see an oak tree, like we have red oak trees planted out front of the church building, those oak trees, you know, maybe 20 feet high, if you take the branches, how far they branch out, the roots are doing the same thing on an oak tree. They're good trees. They're trees that are meant to be around a long time. They're not trash trees. We want them around a long time. I don't want to be a fruitless mulberry tree. I want to be an oak tree. I want to be around a while. I want to be rooted deep in the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer must understand that the outward life, this life that I live here, is only and can only survive as I am rooted in Christ. In other words, put it this way, the believer's hidden life should be developed equal in proportion with his outward life. With their outward life. Your backstage life, the life that no one sees except you, needs to be equal to that which is seen on the outside, that everybody else sees. Why? Because if the roots are not deep, and the roots are shallow, then the first time a storm comes through, you're going to fall down. You're going to fall over. We need to be rooted deep, like an oak tree. We need to be rooted and grounded in that fertile soil. And as we grow in the Lord, as we get bigger, not physically, as we get bigger spiritually, as we grow spiritually, then our roots should be deeper and deeper and deeper. As I'm thinking about that, I think about we as Christians should get closer and closer to the Lord every year. There should be growth rings in our life. We should be able to see not only our own advancement in the Lord Jesus Christ, but others should see the same thing. And the reality of that, of whether or not you are truly growing in the Lord, is found, and the evidence is found, when you do go through a trial, when you do lose that job, when you do have a health scare, when the finances aren't there. How deep are your roots in the Lord Jesus Christ? So this year we're going to emphasize that. The importance of the inner life. The importance of the self life. Selfless life. And not a self life. Of having our life based and rooted not in experience. I don't need just a pastor based upon my experience. I don't need to just live the Christian life based upon my experience. Experience sometimes will still lead us the wrong way, won't it? We should learn from the past. But we need to be careful of just being rooted in the past. We need to be careful that we may think, well, I'm depending upon my family and I'm rooted in the family. The family sometimes will let you down. Your family sometimes will let you down. We need to be rooted in Christ, in the Lord Jesus Christ. As tests come, as trials come, and as we are assaulted on every side in this day and age by the cults and by our own government when it comes to Christianity, we need to be rooted in Christ. There may be a day and age in which you may find yourself in need of Mr. Gibbs. You may need a Christian lawyer. You may need someone to defend you based upon persecution that you may receive from the job or from a whatever it may be. We need to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the thing. Rooted in Christ. Growing together in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our families need to be rooted in Christ. Our lives need to be rooted in Christ. Everything about us needs to be rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I look forward to expanding upon the metaphor. Notice it says rooted and built on. That word built there is talking about that we need a solid foundation as we build. And Jesus Christ is the best foundation you can build on. And so there's so many there, good things there as we think about there. All right, so you see the splashes that distracted you earlier as I was speaking. And so rooted in Christ. So this is what you'll see the rest of the year. Hope you will pray and seek the Lord's face to be that Christian that Christ wants you to be. All right, Brother Hokin, if you get the ushers, we'll pass out the calendar. And again, we see the theme rooted in Christ. Based upon our purposes as a church, our purpose as a church is to love God and grow together and serve others. And so this particular theme will be along the lines of, especially of growing together. Growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and growing together. We're going to, as they pass these out, and I'm actually going to need one, because I didn't bring one up here. So as you get your calendar, we always point out the important events, reminding you. This year we didn't print a long, big calendar. It's a little smaller, but it's front and back this time. We did that for a couple of reasons. I don't know how many of you are actually putting these on your refrigerator. We do it at our home. I encourage you to do that. Put it somewhere prominent, maybe even at your office or whatever the case is, and put it up on the wall and so that it will be there. And do that. Also, this will allow us to slide these into the new members visitors packets without bending them, and just going to try a little different layout. And so encourages. You see, in January Of course, we had the Bean and Soup Fellowship, which I did not mention this morning, this next Sunday night. Look forward to that. We have a missionary going to be here, Brother Carney. Look forward to that. But the big meeting in January is a stewardship conference, Brother J.C. House, coming up here in a couple of weeks. Brother House has been teaching our stewardship conference for 14 years. And so we look forward to having him. In March is our other big conference, the Bible conference, with Brother Stewart. I always look forward to Brother Stewart. I think he's still the best Bible teacher I've ever heard. And you will enjoy him if you're a new member and haven't heard him. And this summer, August, our summer revival, Brother Dave McCracken will be back. And I know we all enjoyed Brother McCracken last time, year before last. And so we'll look forward to Brother McCracken being with us. And then this year for our missions conference will be Brother Wido again, the redheaded preacher who is very passionate, preaches, cries when he preaches. Just a very, very good preacher. So, good? Did I miss something? Everybody good? So the four major meetings, I again encourage you, don't plan a vacation on August 7th through the 10th. You can work around that most of the time. Encourage you to do that, and so that you can make that August revival. We again had a good one with Brother Sam Davison this year, and look forward to this year. All right, so there's your calendar. We'll emphasize that some more when we come to the stewardship conference about the lot of various activities. And you say, well, there's lots of activities. I'm telling you, I think it's important we stay busy for the Lord. Idle minds, the devil's workshop, however you want to put it. But we do need to stay busy for the Lord. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. All right, we're going to have Brother Wiggins come, and we're going to sing the chorus, our new chorus for the year. I've only heard it once, so I'm looking forward to it.